Chapter 15. Side Quest. I wasn't getting to sleep. I tossed and turned on my bedroll, ill thoughts swirling through my mind. That incident with the bear bothered me. Joe hadn't been very strong. At least he didn't think he was very strong, and he'd got beaten up so badly he died. Strong enough to drive off weak spirit beasts, yeah, but it still should have been a fight. It was weak, but even weak spirit beasts were supposed to be tough as hell and hard to kill. If this was a story, it should have been a hard-fought victory. I'd eventually defeat the blaze bear with guile or my technique, and then eat its spirit core and get the blazing bear scripture, something only I understood the value to, that I would then cultivate into a power that shook the heavens, or something. I would have settled for Maymay fussing over some injuries, though it would more realistically be her dad since he was better with medicine, or so she said. Instead, a spirit beast that I should have had a hard time with had literally shit itself when I called on my chi and then begged for its life. Even if it was young, it shouldn't have done that. Not unless I was so far beyond the bear it couldn't comprehend beating me. But I wasn't cultivating. Okay, I was cultivating, but I wasn't cultivating. I hadn't been sitting around circling my chi. I'm a farmer. I used my chi like a tool, and by the end of most days, I was completely empty. There were no breakthroughs I noticed, no bottlenecks, and I hadn't even tried to gauge my own power. I can feel the scent of flowers on the breeze, the suddenly thick underbrush around my legs. I rolled onto my side and called some of my chi into my hand, pushing it into the granite tiles around my bedroll. Nothing happened. The stones got a little reinforced, I guess, but when I put my chi into my plants, nothing else happened either. If plants grow too fast, they deplete nutrients from the soil. We give to the land, and the land gives back. Was I unconsciously holding back? Every time I put my chi into my crops, it was deliberate. I wanted to reinforce and nurture, to make them better instead of making them grow faster because I didn't want to damage the soil. What would happen if I just let go? I closed my eyes and started to pull. It felt like I was tugging on a mountain. But slowly, ever so slowly, it started to move. My chi churned and started to accelerate forward like an avalanche, unstoppable in its might, ready to bear down on... Nope. I slammed on the brakes. I pressed back against the tide, and for a moment it seemed like it would continue forwards anyway. Then it stilled, solidifying. I was breathing heavily as I clenched my hand into a fist. Sweat dripped on the ground. I bit my knuckle and rolled onto my back. I'm afraid of what I'll see. My mind flashed through memories, some fresher than others. Memories of losing my temper, starting a fight on a whim because I could, satisfaction that I would win. My memories. It wasn't just Joe that had issues. There were little flashes of irritation that threatened to escalate. The fur trader and his blabbing mouth. The people in the cities and the towns pushing and shoving. The only thing that had stopped me from acting were the consequences of the before. But what if there were no consequences? What if you could fight off the guards, fight off the army? Cultivators could do whatever they wanted. It was a tempting thought, to truly be free. To do as you pleased, with nothing, nobody able to tell you otherwise. To live out all the power fantasies I'd ever had. All those powerful cultivators, killing and destroying without a care in the world, crushing villages as collateral damage, seeking out others with power just to fight them. Trees strangling entire cities, the mountains venting their terrible wrath, the very earth rising up and going to war. An icy finger of dread crawled up my spine. Me, in the middle of a field of carnage, and staring greedily at the heavens. The grim satisfaction I feel as everybody who had ever wronged me was bowed and broken at my feet. If I had that strength, then what could possibly stop me? Jin? Maymay asked with a sleepy voice, rubbing at her eye. Is something wrong? Your chi smells like... At this, her nose wrinkled. Overboiled rice and peat. The woman who would be my wife was concerned. She was concerned for my well-being, curious, and ready to help. 1,000 villages like Hong Yao Wu shattered like so much kindling. An argument, harsh words, and unrestrained power. Something fragile breaking. The world of cultivation. The rat race for the heavens coming for this sleepy little province. I let out a nervous laugh, even as bile flooded the back of my throat at the horrid thought. Yeah, sorry. Just a bad dream, I replied, waving her off. Go back to bed, Maymay. She squinted at me, considering my words, and then marched forwards. She keeled over and thumped beside me onto my bedroll. May, her arms wrapped around my head, and she pulled me into her chest. I could hear the steady thump-thump of her heart. She smelled like an herb garden. Sleep, she grunted at me. I let out a breath, and some of the tension drained out of my shoulders. Underneath, my chi burbled unpleasantly. Maymay's warmth was gone when I woke up. I had obviously slept in a bit. But there was something else in my bed, something hairy, and it smelled like a warm animal. I heard muffled giggling. I opened my eyes, and a goat stared back at me, chewing its cud. It looked spectacularly bored with this situation. You know, I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. How the hell did they slip this into my arms without me waking up? The goat looked at me and continued chewing. Have a good rest, my darling? I asked it, and somebody choked, trying to hold in their laughter. I stood and picked up the goat around its middle, holding it under one arm. The rest of the people from Hong Yao Wu were staring at me, trying to hold back laughter. To breakfast, my dear, and speak not of our tryst to Mei Ling, I declared dramatically. The dam broke. Gao Zhen fell onto his back, howling with laughter. My betrothed came out of the main house to find out what the fuss was about, and she raised an eyebrow at me as soon as she saw the spectacle unfolding. Oh no, she found us! We must away! I started in a faux panic. Her hand met her face, but she was clearly amused.
Jin,
she sighed.
Wash your face well.
Oh, they drew stuff on me too, huh? I just shook my head with a smile. They got me. I pushed some of the lingering thoughts I had from the night to the back of my mind. There was stuff to do. Whose goat is this anyway? I asked. Gozhen didn't actually know whose goat it was. He thought it was the Juga's due to him finding it in their compound, but they insisted it wasn't theirs. So after I finished washing the dicks off my face, people were the same everywhere, I set off to find the owner. I didn't have to do anything for the wedding yet either and had been shooed off from helping in the kitchen. So here I was, a goat under my arm, placidly chewing some cud, and Maymay's little brother on my shoulders, asking around town if anybody had lost a goat. Gonna be honest here, this wasn't how I expected my day to go. I thought I was here for a wedding, not a side quest. But again, I was in no rush. It was kind of fun. I handed a skewer of meat up to Sien Jr. He had said that they smelled really good, so what the hell.
Thank you, senior brother,
the 8-year-old cheered, biting into the glazed chicken and mushrooms. I found a place to sit and deposited our goat. I handed the goat a carrot, and she took it with the same placid expression. Sien Jr. slid from my shoulders to my lap, kicking his legs as he ate. I absently wiped some of the sauce on his cheek away with my thumb.
Hold there!
A man that looked a bit twitchy called.
I see you found my goat!
Probably. What's its brand look like? I asked. The goat didn't actually have a brand. I'm just bullshitting, but he doesn't know I am. Mr. Twitchy froze, sweat breaking out on his forehead.
Maybe it's not my goat after all. I'll just be going, he said, as he turned around and quite nearly fled in the other direction.
Yeah, I thought so, buddy. Well, we've got about an hour left until we have to be back for the ceremony. I lifted Sien Jr. back up to my shoulders and turned to the goat. Well, let's keep looking. The goat got up and shook itself. We set off down the street. After half an hour of more wandering, we came to a little shack at the edge of town. The goat, which had been content to walk behind me, set off with its hooves clopping.
Ah, Lan Fan, you devil!
I was wondering where you had gone off to.
I heard an elderly voice shout. An old woman stalked out of her shack, waving a broom threateningly at the goat. Lan Fan looked unimpressed. The old gray-haired and hunched woman harrumphed before turning to us. One of her eyes was cloudy and blind, the other an odd shade of gray. Both of them narrowed at us.
And do I have this young gentleman to thank for bringing this vile beast back to me?
I made the appropriate gesture of respect with my hands. Yes, grandmother, she had wandered into the Juga compound, and I sought to return her to her rightful place. The old woman frowned and grabbed my hand, squinting up at my face. Her good eye rolled around crazily for a second, and then she focused on me again. She harrumphed again.
You, boy, stay here,
she demanded, then wandered into her shack. A little bit awkward, but I shrugged and waited. She swiftly returned with a kitten, which she shoved into my arms.
Take good care of it,
she demanded.
A good farmer should have a cat.
And then she left. I stared blankly at the stripy orange kitten. A kitten for a goat. This is a very strange side quest. I wonder what I trade the kitten for. A +3 sword?